There's never been a faster or easier way to start your weight loss journey than with PlushCare. PlushCare accepts most insurance plans and gives you online access to board-certified physicians who can prescribe FDA-approved weight loss medications like Wegovy and Zepbound for those who qualify. Take charge of your health and speak with a board-certified physician about a weight loss plan that's right for you. Get started today at PlushCare.com/weightloss. That's PlushCare.com/weightloss. PlushCare.com/weightloss.
Here's a cool fact. A crocodile can't stick out its tongue. Another cool fact, you can get short-term health insurance for a month or just under a year in some states. UnitedHealthcare short-term insurance plans are designed for people who are between jobs, coming off their parents' plan, or turning a side hustle into a full-time gig. Underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, they offer flexible, budget-friendly coverage with access to a nationwide network of doctors and hospitals. Get more cool facts about UnitedHealthcare short-term plans at uh1.com.
Hello and welcome to the Friday Five, my weekly roundup of the good and useful stuff from the world of well-being. And if you have been following my social media channels recently, you will know that I have been dipping into the wonderful world of potent and powerful plant extracts, herbal supplements and more to help maintain my own levels of well-being and fitness, not to mention mental health. And with our immune systems raised to priority level one status right now, I thought it would be timely to pay a visit to one of my all-time favourite herbalists, Sebastian Pohl, the legendary plant guru, medical herbalist, founder of Pucker Herbs, those wonderful tea folk and more, as well as the founder of a couple of new and very interesting plant-based initiatives. The informative and evidence-based herbal resource website called Herbal Reality, and a new medicinal seed collection project called Earth Song Seeds. While still serving on Pucker's board and mission council, a trustee of the Fair Wild Foundation, as well as numerous botanical advisory board positions, Sebastian is a truly wise soul. And I, for one, especially admire him for his in-depth knowledge of not only Western herbalism, but also his knowledge of both Ayurvedic and Chinese traditional herbs too. Take a listen as he joins me here on the Lizzo Wellbeing Show to discuss the benefits and attributes of the very many plants we should be paying a special attention to right now. So, Sebastian, such a warm welcome back. It's been years, I think, since we last spoke, because I think, you know, you were one of my original guests and contributors when I first started the Lizzo Wellbeing magazine, which is at least 5 years ago.
Hi, Liz. Great to be with you. I know it's been some time. I remember we got together and discussed your launch into health.
Yeah, totally. I mean, and you have been busy, busy. I mean, Pucker teas, I see everywhere. That's obviously going hugely well. So congratulations from one brand founder to another. I know it's not an easy journey. Are you pleased with all of that?
Oh, yes. I mean, it's been the, you know, one of the biggest blessings in my life to start with a simple idea and then for so many other people to love what we do. So, and it's been great to be part of the health movement, really, and contributing to how we grow our food and the organic movement. So, yeah, it's been really rewarding.
Because you've obviously been in this game, as it were, for a long time. Let's talk a little bit about your background, because you're very unusual, I think, in the world of herbalism, in that you bring together the Ayurvedic and the Chinese disciplines to Western herbalism. How did you kind of start that interesting mixture?
I mean, it was, you know, one of those sort of life path experiences that came together through travels, meeting different people. But essentially I got interested in the food I was eating, how that made me feel. And then I started through practicing yoga to learn a bit about Ayurveda. And I came across the wonderful, simple but expressive language of Ayurveda, which really teaches you like your blueprint, if you like, and it gives you a way of describing the qualities in your life. And yeah, I just fell in love with it, really. And
so Ayurveda being, as I understand it, correct me if I'm wrong, the Indian form of herbal medicine and lifestyle in general, sort of natural health and well-being?
Absolutely, it is. You know, it's the traditional Indian medical system, probably the longest continually practiced medical system in the world as well.
It's interesting, isn't it? You say that, and that really puts it into context, because I think so many people here in the Western world are quite dismissive of some of these ancient traditions and ancient forms of medicine, thinking that we've got all the answers here in the modern high-tech age. But of course, these practices do go back for thousands of years, don't they?
They do. And I think a lot of modern medicine is based on the traditional wisdom, you know, the fundamentals of daily health, but also many of the drugs we use today. I think, you know, 120 or so drugs that are pharmaceutical medications are made directly from plants. So I'm interested in a more integrated approach. I think, you know, there's good on all sides, and there's wisdom and clinical evidence on both sides as well. So I think it'd be good if we found a way to include, you know, herbalism perhaps as a more inclusive approach to life. So it's more of a preventative daily practice in a way, and then you've got a pharmaceutical surgical input if, you know, trauma and accidents happen.
Yeah, it's not either or, is it? It's integrating, and I guess that's the word that we're hearing a lot these days when we talk about functional medicine and holistic health and well-being. It is this integrated approach that brings together the best of both worlds, don't you think?
It's just makes common sense, doesn't it, really? You know, how do we educate ourselves, our children, our families, our society to know how to adjust our health and our mood and our energy on a day-to-day basis? And for that, you need some basic empowerment around knowing what exercise to do, what foods to eat. But also from a plant-based approach, you need to know what plants you can include in your life to, you know, improve your digestion, improve your sleep, support immunity, for example. So there's so much potential there.
I completely agree. And talking to you now, somebody who's been in clinical practice for over 20 years, when you use a blend of Ayurvedic and Chinese and Western herbal medicine, are there commonalities in each of those systems? Are there herbs, for example, or plants or activities that kind of crop up in each of those three really quite different systems that have a common thread towards well-being?
There are, you know, in a way, it's this use of similar plants in different cultures in the same way that almost, you know, proves the efficacy, if you like. But plants like licorice are found in Western Asian and more Chinese traditions, plants like dandelion as well. So there is, you know, quite a lot of commonality. What's interesting as well is some of the words that they're called are the same as well. So there's a plant, a motherwort that we have in Europe that is used for anxiety and gynecological issues, and is also a slightly different species, but or member of the family. In China, also called, it's called Yimu Sao, which means healing mother's herb. So you get this motherwort, which means healer in healing mothers in European culture. And so you get these, you know, similarities. Like licorice as well is called, you know, glyceriza, means sweet root in Greek. And it's called sweet stick, yashti madu, in Sanskrit. And it's called sweet stick in Chinese as well. So, you know, you get these sort of similarities across the world.
That's so fascinating. When you think about the history of thousands of years ago, these different cultures and people who didn't travel, didn't communicate, you know, they weren't online with each other, exchanging documents and research studies, actually identifying the same plants and using them and getting the same results in the same areas. I mean, that is a massive kind of global early clinical trial, isn't it, in itself?
It is. I mean, you know, the history of medicine is largely the history of herbal medicine. And there's incredible, yeah, potency and within plants in nature. And it's like they've got molecules in them, natural plant molecules, or an energetic profile, you could say, have been heating or cooling. And these qualities, you know, come into our bodies, and, you know, we're a part of nature as well. And there is an exchange of communication, if you like, a crosstalk between the plant compounds, wisdom or intelligence, some people may say, and our own molecular interaction at a cellular level.
That's really interesting. And I think a lot of us listening, and you know, myself included, totally get the fact that plants are made up of very interesting chemical constituents and phytochemicals that have lots of activities. And we're used to the understanding that a lot of what we now use in conventional, if you like, allopathic medicine comes from many of the ingredients like salicylic acid and aspirin, for example, from the willow tree. But when you start talking about energetic qualities, I mean, to me, that is, if I was being devil's advocate here, that is when it all sounds a little bit woo-woo. How can you explain that? And how do we actually know that that is a thing?
Well, I think it's experiencing nature. So, for example, when you taste a bit of ginger, you can tell that that ginger is warming. It's got essential oils, volatile oils and resins in it that cause a warming sensation in your body. And you can feel and know that it encourages your internal circulation and your peripheral circulation. So, you know, it increases your metabolism. So it's really just a lens that you're applying to the world. You know, if you apply a singular molecular reductionist lens, then you will only look at the qualities of plants at a molecular molecular level, really. Whereas on an energetic level, you're looking at it from a sensory point of view. And it's something that you can access, everybody can access, because we've all got taste buds, we've all got senses to experience the nature of things. You know, it's a bit like some people are more attracted to warm weather that's humid, and some people really dislike warm, humid weather. So it is about understanding that we have our own patterns, our own independent characteristics as an individual, and that we can find a way of meeting a world that would best suit our pattern, if you like. So if you feel the cold a lot, you know, surround yourself in warm things. I mean, these are simple examples, but it goes into much more detail at a level of illness and getting people better. But essentially, there is a way of diagnosing someone's constitution and then working out what are the best foods, exercises, relationships, and plants that they can include. So that, you know, the language of nature is really the language of energetics. Things are either hot or cold, they're wet or dry, they're heavy or light, and we can experience those different realities, if you like, of health through what we eat and how we live.
That is very fascinating. And I guess modern medicine, if you like, is kind of catching up with that in a way, because we're becoming more customized. We're seeing DNA and genetic testing, for example, which is enabling personalized medication, whether it's personalized, you know, vitamins and nutrient supplements or personalized medical, you know, prescribed drugs that will work for some people with a certain genetic profile and not others. And I guess in a way, this is what you're saying has been working on perhaps a less sort of clinical environment, because we are all different and we all will adapt and respond differently to what's around us and how our interface is perhaps with plants.
We all need, you know, bespoke diets. We all exercise differently. We have different sleep requirements. And the expertise that herbalists have is that they have this traditional knowledge, scientifically verified as well, if you like, that there is a way that you can step into your best health, if you like. And through making regular micro interventions of nudging you towards your best health through, you know, supporting your digestion, sleep, energy, all the things that we find crucial every day, that is the way to optimize your potential. And that's what herbalism does to you. You can do that on your own simple level through, you know, chamomile tea or ginger or, you know, adding spices to your food. There's a more general approach, which is totally fine as well. But as you get to be more specific and you want to refine how you can be at your best, then you need to understand your blueprint, if you like, your constitution, and to work out what are the best foods, exercise and herbs for you.
I love that. I love that concept of micro nudging. I think we can all perhaps manage a little bit of that. Now, something that I'm hearing a lot about in the world of supplements, certainly at the moment, which I'm sure you're going to be fascinating to talk to about, is the world of adaptogens. And this seems to fit very neatly in what you're saying about how we're all different and we can all adapt and use plants in different ways. Can you talk a little bit about exactly what adaptogens are and how they work?
Adaptogens are this concept, in a way, that has science has become aware of, back in the end of the 1960s and 70s, of looking at how we respond to different stresses. And the idea being that in an acute situation, we can react very quickly. We can be alert to that danger and respond to it appropriately. All the necessary mechanisms, blood pressure, energy release happening in our body. But what happens when we're exposed to stresses for a very long time is that adaptive mechanism in our body to deal with the stress wears out. And we end up leading into a state of chronic stress and exhaustion. And what is found out was that certain plants and ways of living helped us to extend that ability to endure stress. So it's like plants like ginseng, ashwagandha, shatavari that we can talk about. They've been shown to help extend our ability to deal with the stress and also expand our capacity for dealing with more stress. And so they're used in a way to rejuvenate our system and give our adrenal system, our nervous system, our inflammatory responses a way of not becoming tired, if you like, and keeping at optimum performance. So, I couldn't talk for very long about adaptogens without mentioning ashwagandha. Because it is
ashwagandha, I definitely want to talk to you about that. But are we saying then that adaptogen, as its name implies, is an adapting herb or plant that can adapt to what we need? So this is the bit that I often struggle getting my head around, that if I have a herbal extract that is going to make me feel energized because I'm needing a bit of a pick-me-up, but at the same time, it can kind of adapt to my own body, and that if I'm really feeling like calming down and de-stressing, it will also do that, that the same thing will adapt to what my body needs.
It's maybe the other way around, in a way, is that the plants are just supporting your body to do what it's trying to do anyway, Liz. You know, that's the nature of health, is that our body's always seeking that sort of homeostatic balance, if you like. And the compounds in the plants, some of them are alkaloids, different sort of semi-steroidal compounds, they will feed, if you like, our neurological, our adrenal stress system, so that it can respond better. So it's got more reserve in it. It's like it tops up your energy bank account, if you like. But we need to be a little bit careful with the language, and it's understandable that, you know, sometimes we want a pick-me-up. And does that mean we want a burst of energy, or we want more enduring and constant energy? And, some plants are more stimulating. For example, green tea or coffee, they've got immediate stimulating effects, whereas some give you more enduring, grounded energy. And so you do need to choose the right adaptogens. So within them, ginseng is the most stimulating of the adaptogens, and is probably there for people that have got more tiredness and coldness. Ashwagandha is better if people are getting more tired, perhaps from not sleeping so well and things like this. It helps to normalize your sleep patterns and gives you energy by helping you rest better, if that makes sense. It's like it's not a stimulant in that sense. And then there's herbs like rhodiola, Siberian ginseng, all these plants, they grow in extreme climates. They're having to survive in either ashwagandha grows in very dry, arid, hot conditions. Ginseng grows in rhodiola as well, up in the, up to the Arctic Circle, getting down to minus wherever it goes, 30 or 40. So this ability for the plants to survive in these extreme conditions is said to give them compounds that helps them support their future reproductive potential to spread their genes, but also so they stay healthy in these environments. And these storial compounds come into us, and there's like a, well, it's, you know, there's many ways they work. It's either like a sort of lock and key system that some of the compounds in the herbs turn on, sort of open a door, if you like, in our body, or they interact with our microbiome. And that's really probably one of the most interesting areas in herbal research at the minute, is how the plant compounds we're talking about, these energetics of the plants, are interfacing with our microbiome that we know is this hugely diverse representation of, yeah, biodiversity in nature, really. We have this incredible diversity within us. And it's this crosstalk, it's called, that is what makes the adaptogen support us.
Completely fascinating. And as you probably know, I've written a lot about gut health over the years. And, you know, it is everything. All roads seem to lead back to the microbiome. You know, whoever I'm talking to, whatever area of health, fitness, well-being, medical interventions, any of those disciplines, everything now seems to come back to the microbiome. Are there particular herbal extracts or plants that you as a herbalist would be looking at with interest for the microbiome support?
Yes. And you know, it's interesting you talk about the microbiome, everybody coming back to it. I mean, in Ayurveda, traditional Chinese medicine, you know, the Western herbal tradition, you know, the digestion is the root of all treatments. So, you know, these basic principles of health are well embedded in our tradition. And
so they were way ahead of us.
Oh, in Ayurveda, the focus on Agni, it's called, and the Agni means the digestive fire, related to our word ignite. And so, the science of Ayurveda really holds a lot of insight regarding which plants to go to for helping our digestive fire, ergo our microbiome. So, you know, the ubiquitous golden herb turmeric has been shown to be a booster of the positive bacteria in our digestive tract, for example. So many of the plants, that some of the polyphenols in plants are shown to feed the beneficial bacteria, and that, you know, the beneficial bacteria get increased, but they also break down some of the polyphenols, curcuminoids, they break them down and turn them into other compounds, and you get this sort of cascade. It's like a whole conversation then goes on. So of course ginger as well is a favorite one. As you and your guests, listeners must know, you know, it's the diversity in one's diet that really adds to a healthy microbiome. Professor Tim Spector's work, and including lots of herbs as an addition to your diet, I think is one of the simplest and cheapest things you can do to improve your health, because it makes your food taste better, it helps you digest it better, and it gives you, you know, I think we are all suffering from a herbal deficiency syndrome. There's this nature deficiency syndrome. You know, it's difficult for me to separate my enthusiasm and passion for it from my objectivity. But I think, you know, the tradition and the science point to that in a way, that we you know, there's good evidence showing there are inverse relationships between the, you know, quantities of spices in people's diets and continuation into, you know, diabetes, heart disease, potentially other more long-term issues as well. So all the great herbs for the digestion will be good for the microbiome as well.
Ready to pop the question? The jewelers at BlueNile.com have got sparkle down to a science with beautiful lab-grown diamonds worthy of your most brilliant moments. Their lab-grown diamonds are independently graded and guaranteed identical to natural diamonds, and they're ready to ship to your door. Go to BlueNile.com and use promo code LISTEN to get $50 off your purchase of $500 or more. That's code LISTEN at BlueNile.com for $50 off. BlueNile.com, code LISTEN.
Normally, being a little extra can be a bit much, but when it comes to healthcare, it pays to be extra. and UnitedHealthcare makes it easy with Health Protector Guard fixed indemnity insurance plans. Underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, they supplement your primary plan, helping you manage out-of-pocket costs without the usual requirements and restrictions like deductibles and enrollment periods. So when it comes to covering your medical bills, you can feel good about being a little extra. Visit uh1.com to find the Health Protector Guard plan for you.
Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Hey, it's Paige DeSorbo from Giggly Squad. High quality fashion without the price tag. Say hello to Quince. I'm snagging high-end essentials like cozy cashmere sweaters, sleek leather jackets, fine jewelry, and so much more. With Quince being 50 to 80% less than similar brands. And they partner with factories that prioritize safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. I love that. Luxury quality within reach. Go to quince.com/style to get free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. quince.com/style.
I think that's a really fascinating way of putting it, a herbal deficiency syndrome, and how very simple, you know, to put these things back into our diets and into our daily lives. Now, for those who are listening in real time, we are, of course, at the beginning of January of 2022. And here in the UK, it's damp, it's grey, it's cold. There are colds and coughs and flu bugs, as well as, Omicron circulating around us. What herbs are going to be helpful for us, particularly during this time, if we're looking at helping to support our immunity?
Well, you know, the most important thing is to look after your general health. You know, you want to keep the integrity of your tissues at an optimum level so that any bacteria, viruses have less chance of taking hold. I mean, that's one thing we can try and do. Of course, you know, nothing's guaranteed in that sense. But the in terms of the integrity of the mucous membranes and keeping them healthy, certain plants that we have in abundance in Europe, like elderberry, for example, has got lots of very good research on it as a winter respiratory tonic. It's got a whole load of colourful pigments and compounds that are known to interact, I'm not saying with COVID per se, but with other viruses, and to disengage them in a way, preventing their proliferation in the respiratory system. So elderberry is always a favourite. You know, it tastes good, it's safe for everybody. You know, ginger throughout the winter season. You were beautifully describing the language of energetics there, Liz, when you're talking about, you know, Britain being cold, damp, wet, you know. And then if you have a diet that's heavy in, I don't know, mucus forming foods of sugar and, you know, too much potentially, you know, starchy grains, processed food, then your mucous membranes obviously get more increase in some of these sticky substances and become, you know, potentially less resilient. And so, yeah, making sure you keep your metabolic fire, your digestive fire going with suitable amount of spices is good. Cinnamon is another great one at this time of year, so you can easily include.
Oh, cinnamon, yes. Very interesting. I was reading reports that showed that during the great Spanish flu epidemic, the people who worked in the cinnamon factories, bringing the quills that came over from India and grinding them up into cinnamon powder, which became so hugely popular in the early part of the last century, were very protected against Spanish flu, and they were sort of noted for not having succumbed, which I thought was fascinating.
I've never heard that. Amazing. I mean, you know, there's many volatile oils and cinnamaldehyde in cinnamon that could well be implicated there. And I've actually heard the same thing, you know, it's quite a few years ago now, in the projects that we have in India, growing tulsi, which is holy basil. And it's a very aromatic plant, member of the mint family. And we've got these sort of drying, quite simple drying sheds in the villages where we grow it. And the community there, they all say they've been getting, you know, ill much less from these volatile oils that they're breathing in all the time. So it's, you know, surround yourself in, you know, you can do things like that. You know, we don't all have you know, herb farms on our back door. But you can, you know, aromatizing essential oils, I think, is a really good thing to do. Going back to your question about the winter, and also, you know, doing steam inhalation, I think, is a fantastic thing to do at this time of year. If you've, you know, had to travel and been around lots of people, or, you know, been to an event and whatever, someone might have been ill, then doing steam inhalation is really good, because it immediately, you know, cleanses your respiratory passages.
So how would you do that practically? Talk us through doing a steam inhalation to help support the immune system.
Well, you know, you would, you know, boil a kettle, find a nice bowl, and fill the bowl up with a hot water, and get a towel that you put over the bowl. Find somewhere, you know, safe and comfy to sit, and then you lift up the towel and put your head under this steaming bowl of hot water. You need to leave it for a couple of minutes so it's not freshly hot off the boil. And if you want, you can add some essential oils. Those are sort of like lavender, gentle oil like that. Or, you know, if you happen to have a cold or something, then the more sort of aromatic opening plants, perhaps like eucalyptus, might be used. And it's a good practice to do anyway. I mean, along with, you know, doing pranayama, breathing practice, you know, all of these things, I think, go back to the basics, you know, how to help your body do what it's trying to do anyway, and adjusting that moment to moment. So, you know, you'd sort of think it's a good practice to have in the winter, to do it once or twice a week.
Brilliant. I remember talking to a herbalist years ago who said that if I was coming down with a cough or a cold or sore throat or chest infection, to do exactly that and to throw in a few drops of eucalyptus essential oil, and then to take time to both breathe through my nose, so I would be absorbing those aromatic compounds and the little tiny essential oil particles, if you like, through the nose and the nasal passages, but also to breathe through my mouth and to almost sort of swallow this antiseptic steam vapor, so that it would go right down through the airways and the different sort of pipes and tubes going down into the lungs, and have an activity there that could be very cleansing and supportive.
You know, excellent improvement on what I was saying. You're absolutely right. You know, make sure you get the oils and the hot warm air into all those places it needs to get to, because it is, you know, it's very physical in a sense, isn't it? These compounds that are in plants, you can smell them when you go outside, you know, and when you're inhaling them, they go directly into you and contact your tissues. And again, it's this conversation, you know, it's about this whole relationship, dialogue and conversation with nature that you can, you know, embed yourself in sort of wherever you are in the world, in a way, you know, however your life is.
Well, talking about that conversation, you not only have all your time as a medical herbalist and as a researcher and with Pucker, but you've also got this amazing website, which I'd love to talk about and direct people to, called herbalreality.com, which is so informative. I mean, I've, you know, lost myself down many a deep dive on your pages there, linking health and herbalism. And completely fascinating, the research and the quality of the contributors there. What are some of the most popular features that you've got on that site at the moment? I imagine a lot of them are to do with immunity, are they?
Thanks, Liz. That's really great to hear. Exactly. People coming and looking for areas either in simple self-care. So things are always popular around sleep, anxiety, how to manage some of the natural pressures that build up in life. And then, of course, over the winter and more recently in the pandemic, immunity, some of the ways of looking after yourself, and then digestion. And women's health always features highly as well, because of the special requirements and interest women have in health as well. So it's, you know, I'm so fortunate with it. We've got so many great writers, and there is so much talent in the professional clinical herbal community. And I started it really because I really felt it wasn't out there enough, the conversation around clinical herbalism. And so it's been really enjoyable doing it. And, you know, it's to face into some of the challenging areas as well. You know, there's a lot of issues in sustainability in the herbal network, a lot of issues in quality as well, and making sure that it's of suitable standard, and also of accurate information. And so that's why I wanted to do it.
Well, hats off to you. And as my listeners and audience know, we are very much evidence based here, and with fads and trends and myths, and especially in areas that can be harder perhaps to regulate. I was very interested. You've got a very interesting piece up on botanical drugs and supplements that may be safe and useful for COVID-19. And it's interesting, some of the herbs that you talk about there, things that I've known about for the immune system for a long time, and I'm sure many of my listeners have, things like echinacea, and you actually take apart how some of the compounds in a plant like echinacea can help. Elderberry, of course, which we've talked about earlier, South African geranium, which has got extraordinary sort of immunostimulant activity attached to it. And then, of course, we get onto the medical mushrooms, the medicinal fungi, which are also, I mean, we could talk for hours about those alone, couldn't we? I mean, these are really fascinating substances that have all been shown in some way to have some potential benefit.
I think there is definitely a case to be made, and there are quite a few species, I think elderberry, andrographis, some of the mushrooms that are in clinical trials at the minute. In terms of protection, I think that they definitely are something that's worthy of inclusion. In terms of treatment, it's very early days in terms of having an evidence base for some of these plants specifically against COVID. But there is a long tradition of us, unfortunately, as humans, having to face epidemics, pandemics, and so there is a knowledge base there in the tradition, and it looks like many of these species are showing, plausible mechanisms of working, and should, I think it would be great, wouldn't it, if there could be a progression over this next year towards a more holistic approach to the way we're addressing the global health crisis that we're facing, not just because of COVID, but because of other areas around mental health, diabetes and things like that, that a lot of these plants work towards. But wouldn't it be great that out of this depressing time in lots of ways, that we had a more integrative approach where some of this wisdom could be included, that is accessible and affordable, and no reason why you can't have the best of both worlds.
I completely agree. And I think that this time has been a time of awakening for a lot of people, actually, to say, how can I better improve my metabolic health? How can I maintain a healthy weight? We know that obesity is such an enormous risk factor for people who succumb to the worst effects of COVID. And we know that, what we eat is driving a huge amount of our immune response, our gut health, our mental health. How do we better protect that? And of course, I think looking at that from all angles, whether we're looking at it from a fitness perspective, physical fitness, and from including more plants and looking at the activities of natural substances around us, is just an extraordinary thing. I've learned so much in the last 18 months, specifically on supplements that can help support the immune system, for example, looking at nutrients, looking at vitamins and minerals that I would never even have known about, or let alone considered before all this. So that there are benefits, I think, as people do wake up to becoming a little bit more inquisitive, perhaps.
I think you're right. So it's a very rich and rewarding world to explore, and so I definitely encourage people to gem up on which plants they think are best for themselves. But ultimately, you want to go and see a herbalist. That's the best way. You take your car, and we all take our car to the garage or whatever, our pet to the vet. We go and see the doctor. Herbalists are the people with this privileged knowledge, really, thousands of years of insight. And in the UK, there are about 4,000 herbalists, and they're active and ready and, open to support people, really. And it's their, there are other health practices as well, other health traditions that are valuable to see. But that's the best way to find out which plants are best for you.
If you want to find a herbalist, how would you suggest going about it?
Well, there are a few different ways. You can look on Herbal Reality under the resources section. And there is also an organisation called the Herbal Alliance, and that's herbalalliance.uk. And that has a list of all the practitioner organisations in the UK, and you can find someone there.
And are herbalists classified according to whether they follow Ayurvedic or Chinese or, you know, Western herbalism? Do you have to sort of make a choice, or is it quite common to find somebody like yourself that works across all those disciplines?
A bit of both, Liz, really. There are some people that just focus specifically on their, you know, Western Chinese or Ayurvedic tradition, and some people integrate more. But all traditions use herbs from all around the world. So everyone, you know, as we were talking about at the beginning, you know, everyone's using licorice and ginger and turmeric. They fit into all the traditions. But there is a slightly different lens, as we were talking earlier, to that they look through. So on the site, you can see they are classified by Chinese or Ayurvedic or Western.
And what about people who are listening, who are thinking, well, that's all very well, but I hear a lot about the dangers of herbs and herbal remedies, and how are these going to interact perhaps with any medication that I might be taking?
All the more reason to see a herbalist, really, I think, to get that professional opinion, and, you know, and to discuss it with your doctor as well, if you've been given medication, of course. It's difficult to answer that in a succinct way, because it's such a biased view, in the sense that the risks and the dangers of plants are so minimal, you know, in terms of severe toxicological events versus the volume of, you know, the millions of kilos of plants that are used. It is very minimal, but there are, of course, risks as well. And you're very right to bring it up, that we should all be aware about making sure we're using plants that are, you know, safely manufactured, that are sustainable, and, you know the source, basically. And it is not the clearest world, in a sense, that there are, you know, from a public point of view, there are quite a few tiers of whether something's a food supplement or a medicine. And there are different claims that can go along with that. Basically, proceed with caution, I'd say, and, you know, work with companies that have either got, you know, some organic certification, some fair trade certification, you know, they clearly promote the quality work they do and knowing their sources or the standards they comply with. That would be the best thing.
And perhaps not be guided by price. I mean, I know a lot of people, for example, if they get it into their heads, well, I'm going to go and get some ashwagandha, or I'm going to go and get some turmeric. You go online, you find the cheapest option. And actually, when you look at those companies, they don't seem to have the background of knowledge, you know, the breadth. I mean, for example, if I go to your website or if I go to Pucker, you know, I can see the heritage there, and there is a trust, you know, implied in your length of time and the way that you put out all your information and your knowledge. And that is really what we're buying, aren't we? You know, it's kind of just don't be guided by price. And I think there are a lot of people who work in the supplement world who would say the same thing. It can be, for some people, less scrupulous, just a way to make a quick buck. They shove a bit of, you know, unidentified powder into a capsule and sell it, and you're not quite sure what you're getting.
That you know, there are issues there. You're right. So, you know, make sure you feel that it's coming from a trusted supply. And it's the same with food, isn't it? Or clothes, unfortunately. You know, if you do buy the cheapest, and I know these things cost money, but it's about how you're prioritizing your spend. You know, you're not going to get the best, and it won't be contributing probably to the sustainable and green environment you want as well. So I would support that view entirely. But generally, you know, they've got a good safety record. We've got quite a bit of information on Herbal Reality, but like anything, you have to use things in the right dosage. You know, they are more concentrated.
Of course you do. You know, yeah, it's like everything, isn't it? It's a dose-related risk for everything. I think we're kind of quite used to the fact that if we buy a packet of paracetamol, it comes with a huge contraindications and warnings and healthcare information in tiny print in a leaflet that usually goes straight into the bin, and we don't read every word of it. And yet, if you take even just a few extra tablets, you know, you can cause yourself some serious liver damage. So, but we kind of seem to accept that as an acceptable risk. And then if we hear about an adverse reaction from somebody who's taken a ridiculously large quantity of a particular herb, then it's you know, is blown up in perhaps in a way that we don't have that blown up in the same way with a conventional medicine.
There is a bit of that. You know, it's sort of understood that there's lots of side effects with conventional medicine. You sort of take it on the chin in a way, whereas in herbalism, perhaps because it's you know, is it a less mature industry in a way? It's, you know, had a lot less investment and support over the last 100 years and has been alienated in lots of ways. And it's, you know, there's a wave coming back of from the people demanding more access to plants, really. And that's feels, you know, very exciting as a shift in healthcare moves from a sort of purely doctor-patient relationship to a more empowered citizen position where you're learning and taking care of your health yourself. So, you know, on Herbal Reality, we've got all the safety information about herbs listed in the monograph. So, you know, that's a place where we could start learning and educating oneself about
definitely.
It.
Definitely. I mean, I highly recommend it. And I'll make sure that we put all the links to that in our podcast notes and on our social media as well after this. But I guess ultimately, you know, you talk about taking control for ourselves. Should we then be growing our own herbs? Are there simple things that we could be doing in our own environment, be it a garden or even just a window box?
I think so. I think, you know, you want to have as much of nature around us as possible, isn't it, so that we stay connected. And there are very simple things you can grow. I mean, you know, we haven't even mentioned any of our sort of more European herbs, like, you know, thyme, rosemary. Of course, those can all be grown in window boxes and can be drunk as a tea or sprinkled in your food. Things like lemon balm, chamomile, they're very straightforward to grow in the summer in a window box. So you know, also the, you know, growth in allotments and people growing their own veg. I think we should take this, you know, the health movement of food as a continuum into the rest of the plant world, if you like, and how can that contribute as well? And they're great to have in your garden, that's for sure. They smell good and taste good.
Brilliant. Sebastian, we're going to have to end there. I knew at the beginning of this recording that we could literally go on for hours. I'd love you to come back and talk more specifically about some of these things that we've just touched on. I know everyone's going to find this completely fascinating. And I just hope that everything that you're doing continues to grow and amplify, and that Herbal Reality continues to flourish. It's an amazing website. It's a great resource. Really huge congratulations to you. And I would suggest highly that everybody goes and checks it out and has a good look around it. So thank you very much for your time today.
Thank you, Liz. I've loved speaking with you. Take care.
Thank you. Oh, also very interesting, don't you think? And you'll find the links to all Sebastian mentioned here over on the Lizol Wellbeing website, as well as many of our own articles and features relating to the therapeutic properties of so many of the powerful herbs and spices that Sebastian mentioned here, not least the powerful winter wonders, ginger, turmeric, and many more besides. Well, that is just about it for this week. As always, do please keep your comments coming into us. We love reading them and responding. You will find us on all the usual social media channels, Instagram, Twitter, Facebook, YouTube, and more. Newly on TikTok, of course, if that's your go-to choice. And I am looking forward to being back in your ears again next week for another generous dose of well-being wisdom. Until then, go well. Bye-bye.
Hi, I'm Daniel, founder of Pretty Litter. Cats and cat owners deserve better than any old-fashioned litter. That's why I teamed up with scientists and veterinarians to create Pretty Litter. Its innovative crystal formula has superior odor control and weighs up to 80% less than clay litter. Pretty Litter even monitors health by changing colors to help detect early signs of potential illness. It's the world's smartest kitty litter.
Go to prettylitter.com and use code ACAST for 20% off your first order and a free cat toy. Terms and conditions apply. See site for details.
Hey, it's Paige DeSorbo from Giggly Squad. High quality fashion without the price tag. Say hello to Quince. I'm snagging high-end essentials like cozy cashmere sweaters, sleek leather jackets, fine jewelry, and so much more. With Quince being 50 to 80% less than similar brands. And they partner with factories that prioritize safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. I love that. Luxury quality within reach. Go to quince.com/style to get free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. Quince.com/style.
Hi, I'm Daniel, founder of Pretty Litter. Did you know cats tend to hide symptoms of sickness and pain? I learned this the hard way after losing my cat, Gingy. So I created Pretty Litter, a health monitoring litter that helps detect early signs of illness by changing colors, saving you money and potentially your cat's life. Pretty Litter is veterinarian developed, and it's the easiest way to keep tabs on your fur baby's health right at home.
Go to prettylitter.com and use code ACAST for 20% off your first order and a free cat toy. Terms and conditions apply. See site for details.